The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you joined us, as we always are, as we get together. First day of the week, starting off this week. Pray that you had a wonderful weekend and was able to attend church. Fellowship with some believers, always so important. Remember, not only do they have something they want to bless you with, but of course they want to, you have something to bless them with. And so I think that's so important. Looking forward to the program today, especially. And if you'd like to be a part of the program today, give us a call. 8888-ASK-CSN's the number to call, and we'll do our very best to make you part of the program. And let's see, we're looking for Mr. Bear. Is he with us yet? I do not see him, but, this is one of those things. Folks, this is live radio, and that's what you get when you have live radio. Want to once again encourage you all in this time of shutdown, and still many churches have not opened. I talked to so many pastors across America that say, our church opened back up, but there's only half or a quarter of the people coming now that used to come. You know, I do believe that the devil works in mysterious ways as well, and I again, to get people out of the habit and the heart of going to church. I think that he is he's accomplished a great deal of what he's doing, and so kind of a tough thing. But we want to just once again encourage you. Great is our God in heaven, who watches over us all. To him be the glory, and not even the COVID will stop what God wants to do in each one of our lives. And so we want to continue to keep that in prayer. One of the other things to remind you of as we continue to do To Every Man Answer every day, and so many people are blessed, I just want to say thank you to all of you who make that possible, for without you, we couldn't do it. You know what one person can never do by themselves, a bunch of us together can do. And the kingdom of heaven is furthered. And so always look forward to that and seeing what God does. And it's really a great time to be a Christian, be alive. A lot of people looking for answers. Again, I think this COVID thing, when everybody thought, well, my computers are going to give me the answer, my local doctor is going to give me the answer, and there's really no answers out there unless your faith is in Christ. I really believe that you really run into a lot of issues in these days that we live. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Sandy on the line in Montana. Hi, and welcome, Sandy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How may we help?
I need the Lord to bless me with $500,000, and this is our...
Wow. Well, I know nothing's hard for God if it's in his will. You have a piece of property or something?
It's a house that needs to be purchased before somebody else does.
So, I see.
I don't want to go into the
details. Well, you know, Sandy, well, why don't we just pray and just ask God that if it's his will, he'll provide the means, the ways, and because, you know, we know nothing's hard for God if it's in his will. So, Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for Sandy's faith and wanting to trust you for these funds. And, Lord, just ask you that your Holy Spirit would open and close the doors according to your will. And, Father, that you have the very best for us. And so I just pray that she rests in you and know you're a God that does miracles. And so may you just open the doors of heaven, provide for her every need. And God, that again, I know our wants are different than our needs sometimes, Lord, but you know what's needed here. And so we just trust you for a great miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Sandy, that's our prayers.
I hope it's not too late.
No, no. Well, you know, I have found this. When I pray about something and I think, oh, it's going to be too late, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody else buys something I want. I found this happened to me once, and God just had something better. And had I got the one thing that I got, I wouldn't have got the better thing. So I always want to rely on his insight and his wisdom rather than my own, because again, you know, our understanding of things is so limited. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if there's going to be another 2008 land crash as it was, you know, when everything, the Great Recession. So we don't know. But I do know one thing, that we're secure in him, and so he's got the very best for us. Sandy, stay in line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Okay, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason being that I need to buy this house is because it's the one that I live in, and the people who own it and my husband have ganged up on me, and they're trying to make me leave it against my will. So I figured that way I'm safe and I'm secure. And I'm sorry.
Well, remember, Sandy, our security doesn't come from things. It comes from the Lord. And I don't know always how God does that, but I do know a lot of times God moves us around by circumstances. But if it's God's will, I would just say, well, God has a way of fixing this for you. And if not, God's got something better. I never want to be focused upon what I'm asking for. I want to be focused upon God, who answers my prayers according to his will. So important. Sandy, stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Liz, Florence, Arizona.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
I have a question. I know it might feel like, what I'm asking is you know, kind of silly, but I know in the Bible it talks about divorce, how God doesn't like divorce, and it's because of our hearts. We wanted that degree, you know, back in the old times. And now, is it a sin to go back and marry your ex-husband after the fact that you divorced them?
Well, in the Bible, Old Testament, yes, it was wrong to do that. But the idea was not to not reconcile with your former spouse. It was to keep people from going out and playing the field or sampling and going, I had it pretty good at home. I think I'll just go back to my wife or my husband. That was the idea behind it. Not that God was against reconciliation, because certainly, Liz, as an example, if you've got children with your ex-husband, that's the best scenario there is reconciliation. But the Bible says all things are lawful, not all things are the best for us. But when it comes to something like this, I think oftentimes for the family and for if there's children involved, I don't think personally there's probably much anything better than that kind of a thing, because we all make mistakes, and certainly divorce is not the unpardonable sin. People oftentimes say, well, God hates divorce. Yes, that's true. But the Bible also talks about God hating six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to him in the Old Testament, but divorce there is not listed. It's those that sow discord among the brethren and those that are gossipers and all these kinds of things. So I don't believe divorce is the unpardonable sin, but we need to take marriage very seriously, and we need to take it very holy in the way that God does things. So you know, I hope that answers it for you.
Your guest, but
hope that helps.
God bless you, brother.
Blessings to you. Stay online. Send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs. Liz, I think will really be an encouragement to you, and I think those will be a blessing to you. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Christina in Oklahoma. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike. So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
How can we help?
I have a couple of questions about heaven and the new earth. So, you know, when we die or when we're raptured, we go to heaven, and Jesus said he's up there preparing a place for us. And if he's doing all that and going to all that trouble, then the first question is, why create a new earth for us to just go live there and leave heaven behind and all the work he's put into it? And the second is, when he says that he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, is the heaven that he's talking about the actual, like, celestial skies, or is it the place heaven?
Well, I believe that, again, when we find after the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years, we have after the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years, then the books are open. Everyone's judged. Everybody's works have come to full fruition. This is why the wicked are judged at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, because all of the things they did have come to full. They fully ripened what they are. Now, again, just because a person dies doesn't stop the evil that they have started. You think of the people that started cults, and maybe there was only a handful of people when it started. Now there may be millions of people. Well, again, this is why. And I'm fairly convinced there will be people that will try to resurrect some of these goofy ideas during the millennial reign of Christ, because the Bible says if you don't come in, if that country doesn't come and pay homage to Christ, no rain will fall on their land. So they're going to be believing something. For 1,000 years, almost 1,000 years, people live in on this earth, restored earth, because after the tribulation, it's pretty destroyed, it's pretty bad. However, he restores it for 1,000 years. We live in a perfect environment, perfect food, perfect government. And in all that, the Bible says Satan is loose for a short period of time and goes out, deceives the nation. And as sand is on the seashore, he comes against Jesus there in Jerusalem to make war with him. With a word, they're destroyed. This is the end. Then the Bible says everybody makes full account. The books are open. Everyone's judged according to their works. The wicked are condemned in the lake of fire that burns forever. It's not annihilation. Any goofy cult out there says, oh, it's just annihilation. They're not reading the Bible. If you read the book of Jude as an example, it is not annihilation. Where the Bible says the worm never ceases, the fire never ceases. Again, the book of Jude has a lot to say about that. But here's what happens. Then the Bible says his bride is there, and the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, evidently out of the sky, and that will be our new place to live forever. It's not like the old place. The Bible says there's no more sea. There are crystal rivers that flow out of the throne of God. The streets are like refined gold, so clear that it's translucent. There's no sun, no moon. Jesus is the light that lights the city, and that's our eternal home. Now, people have asked, well, why is it that way? I don't know, but I do know this, that as his bride, I know, just as any man that really loves his bride wants to impress her. And I imagine that this new Jerusalem, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is in John 14. And he went to prepare a place for us. And so I believe it's speaking not only right now, but eventually the new Jerusalem. And it's in layers. It's 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, and it's in layers. And in each layer, there's a gate. This is going to be our eternal home. And I believe that, again, the Bible tells us what God's going to do with us throughout all of eternity. It shows his greatness. So, you know, what is, in fact, behind the stars? I was just looking at a newspaper article today, as a matter of fact, and it talked about what's beyond the stars. Well, we're going to know someday. What's inside the atom? We're going to know someday. You're going to find the majesty, the glory of God, his infinite wisdom to be revealed throughout all of eternity. And so I believe not only do we would it require us to have a new place to live, it would be very needful for us to do that because of all the things that I believe God wants to show us and do for us in the days to come. So I think it'll be a great time, Christina.
I do too.
So we look forward to that. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what is recorded for those that love him. But God has revealed it unto us. So as we read the scriptures, as we read his word, we get a better idea of this new eternal home that God has prepared for us. And so a world that has not been corrupted by Satan, a world where we don't fight and struggle with an old fleshly nature, but we have a brand new nature in which God takes care of us and does all these things. And so looking forward to this wonderful time with him forever. And so I hope that answers your question for you.
Thank you, sir.
Stay on the line. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. And with that, we'll introduce our guest today. We have with us Ted. And Ted, are you with us?
I am, and I'm looking at you, but the Zoom was not working, so on my end.
Okay, well,
here I am in Hollywood. And, of course, if it's Hollywood, it's got to be shut down by Gavin Newsom.
There you go. Well, we have with us Ted Baer, from founder and publisher of Movie Guide, the family guide for movies, entertainment, and chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission Ministry. And he's a author and lecturer, all these different things. But what he does is they review a lot of the movies that are being released in the movie houses and give you the real lowdown skinny, how many times cussing goes on, how much violence is in it. Ted, so good to have you with us today.
Well, it's great to be with you today, even though I can see you and you can't see me, but maybe that's good. You know, I'm just getting a little old, but we still are flourishing. We grew from 37 million last year to 41 million, so we're on a lot of secular stations, and I'm happy to be listening to you. I loved your explanation of Revelation and the end times, so thank you.
Well, God is good, and so tell us a little bit about what you do, how you go about reviewing the movies, because, you know, so many people today, families, whether you have children or not, man, I'll tell you, there is such violence in so many of these movies, and I always look, Ted, at as a kind of an undercurrent that you wonder how demonically inspired some of this stuff was. I remember some of the Batmans and all that kind of stuff. And it was flat out of the pit, man. I don't even know people that think like that. And then to make a movie like that, and then you can't figure out why people in our society go wacky. I've shared this many times. You'll hear all these liberal people, oh, get rid of guns. Guns are the problem. And yet every single Hollywood movie shows the illicit use of guns. It is Hollywood's fault for much of the gun violence in America today. It is their fault. It's not the National Rifle Association. It is not the Republicans. It is Hollywood that shows the illicit, wrongful use of firearms. And they really, I believe, Dr. Baer, need to be held accountable for what they have not only done in that world, but all of it. Look how they have seduced America and the world with their lies.
Well, let me give you a little background on all this. I'll give you a background from two directions. One, I've been in the industry for 74 years. My father was a star during the 30s. So was my mother. But my father starred in 62 movies. He won the box office award, and he did the first Texas Ranger series, which was absolutely great. That's what he was remembered for, though he did a lot of other movies and a lot of plays. And that was the golden age of Hollywood when Mr. Smith went to Washington instead of those other guys. And it was a wonderful life, and the bells of St. Mary rang out. And that's because there were three you know, there were three faith-based film offices. There was a Protestant film office headed by a man who became a close friend of mine, George Heimlich, the Catholic Legion of Decency, and then the Jewish Defense League. The Catholic Legion of Decency folded its tent in 1959 and moved to New York, and the Protestant film office closed. Now, 100% of the films were what G-rated before 1965 when the Protestant film office shut down. And the head of Paramount Pictures said, if you take this all from meat, meat's going to rot. And everybody thought it would take a long time. It went from 100% what would have been G-rated movies, from the greatest story ever told about Jesus, from The Sound of Music, which was a great movie, to 82% R-rated movies within 3 years, to the first sex and Satanism movie, to the first X-rated movie, all within 3 years, because evil will triumph when Christians abandon the mission field. That's what they did. Now, I grew up in the industry. My mother died when I was young. You'll hear a lot of this on Sunday. And I went off the deep end, and four women who'd come to Christ through Billy Graham Association started targeting my father and when he was single, and taking him to Christian events, and I thought they were crazy, and then I became one who knew they were crazy. And finally, one of them challenged me. He said, you've gone to Dartmouth and Cambridge and all these places. Why don't you just read the Bible and tell us what's wrong? So finally, I said, I'll read the short part. So I started reading Matthew. In the middle of Matthew, I came to Christ. You know, Wycliffe, that you know very well, my son worked with Wycliffe over in Papua New Guinea, says 60% of the people come to Christ through reading the Bible. And God drew me back into the industry. I had funded five feature films, which were terrible. Now I wanted to redeem the media. I went to a seminary that owned the Chronicles of Narnia, so we did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on CBS television. It had taken them years, and I met the man who had been head of the Protestant film office, and we started doing the work in Hollywood. And the work of the Protestant film office had cleaned up the industry back in 1933. So we started doing that, and when we started, there was only one little movie with any positive Christian content, Trip to Bountiful. If you saw a movie, the Christians were usually the villains, and in Poltergeist, the priest had a knife in his hand. He was about to stab somebody. And there was a book written at that time called Hollywood Babylon, cataloging how bad it was. And so when we went in, it was really awful. Now, the number of movies, because we showed them that faith-based movies do better all the time. I can give you those statistics. It's nice to see them, but I can show you what they do. And when they started, it was like one movie with positive Christian content. Now you've got positive Christian content in a lot of movies. And we show them that the more violence they put in the movie, the less money they make, because that's what you talked about. The more foul language you put in a movie, the less money you make. For instance, last year, which was not a good year for movies, movies with no foul language averaged $8 million at the box office. With foul language, did $6 million. So you go down by $2 million. Nudity, $8 million down to $0.6 million if you've got nudity in it. Sexual content, $9.5 million to $0.38 million. Wow. So, you know, we tell Hollywood, you can do this, but you're going to be losing a tremendous amount of money at the box office. We do the numbers, and the more Christian content you put in a movie, the better it does at the box office. And I can explain that, because every week before COVID shut us all down, about 125 to 135 million people went to church every week. That wasn't as good as it was before the 60s. We know that. But 125 million people was five times more people that were going to theaters. And I thought last year was going to be difficult because they're doing streaming. The figures came out for last year. We crunched all the numbers. We do this detailed amount. And it was better last year. People online were choosing the good, and so that's what we do. We zoomed up from 37 million to 41 million people from, you know, being on the Reels channels, a lot of major channels, Hallmark, et cetera, and more people started coming to us, and people are making wise decisions. So what we want to do is to teach parents how to teach their kids how to be media wise and give them discerning reviews. Now, when we look at a review, you asked me this, Mike, so I want to just cover it quickly. I had been head of a department at City University of New York, and that was a group of people in the 70s who developed the first media literacy course. So we look at movies in terms of 150 criteria, and you will understand that. We not only look at the artistic values, we look at the violence, which you just heard, the sex you just heard, all of that stuff, which we call the semantic elements, but we also look at the worldview elements, what you were talking about before you got me on. We look at the ontology. Is it a real world with real pain, real suffering, that needs a real savior? We look at the God. How is God portrayed? Is he portrayed as some little demigod like Loki or Thor? Or is he the God who created the universe? So all of those things are part of what we do. So when we analyze movies, we give a complete analysis. We don't tell people to go or not go, but we're trying to get them to develop discernment so that, here, you be the judge. You look at this review and you make a decision, and then we present the findings to the entertainment industry, and the entertainment industry calls us all the time. I mean, one of the great directors of all time just called me just before the show and asked me, you know, about his new movie that he's bringing out, and we had the man who made Rookie and Miracle and Safety come over and have lunch last week because he was talking about it. We had the head of the biggest picture company in Hollywood come and teach my class. And underneath the surface, there's people out there, like the people who did the Lego movie, which was big, and the people who did How to Train Your Dragon, who go to, you know, Oaks Christian Academy. They send their kids to Oaks Christian. They go to Calvary. Yeah, yeah. Now, that's a different Calvary than you're associated with, but at Thousand Oaks. But it's a great church. So,
sure. And real quick, when you look at this, it's really, I think, so important because, you know, the computer was designed basically patterned after your mind. But here's the problem: garbage in, garbage out. And you put garbage in your eye, you know, what you watch. The Bible even warns, beware what you set before your eyes, because the thing is, then you begin to adapt that philosophy rather than God's. So important. Just want everyone to know we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we'll go to the phones. We have Chris James on the line. And if you want to be part, that number again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We'll be right back.
When this mom ended a bad relationship, she found out she was pregnant. After the father told her to get an abortion, Julia was confused and didn't know what to do or who to talk to.
I just knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Julia was referred to a preborn center where she was counseled and supported with the strength she needed to choose life.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn centers provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action to moms like Julia. Because when an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com and click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including many stations in great cities in Georgia. You can listen in Athens, Savannah, Danielsville, Buford, and many more. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International, edifying the saints and evangelizing the world. Hallelujah. Great Bible teaching. Equipping a worshiping church.
To the King who is to
And And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer with Ed Bear. We have, again, noted movie reviewer, and I'm so glad you're with us here on this Monday. And, you know, Ed, right before we went to the break, you were talking a little bit more about, you know, just how America is influenced by what we see.
Well, we do those studies, and about 2000, when I was head of a department at another secular school, Berkeley, Film and Television, there were 500,000 studies. 99% of them say that movies and television have an influence. We know that. The average child, by the time they're 17 years old, spends about 66,000 hours with movies, television, iPhones, whatever it happens to be. They spend 11,000 hours of school if they don't miss a day, which, of course, they missed a lot of days last year. They spend just a couple thousand hours with their parents because their parents are busy working, trying to support the family. And they spend, if they go to church every Sunday, from the time they're born, they'll spend 800 hours. So when you compare 66,000 hours to the church's 800 hours, we need, you know, we're concerned about getting into that platform. So we teach people, we reach people in Hollywood, we do this economic analysis, we're a lobbying group. There are a lot of lobbying groups. You know, Planned Parenthood has a lobbying group spent a lot of money producing a few Planned Parenthood movies last year, one about two teenagers and the girl had to change states in order to get abortion. And but that didn't make any money. So we come to Hollywood after all the, you know, the New York Times touting this movie. We come to Hollywood and say, look, that movie made nothing at the box office. And what made money at the box office was movies with faith and values, and including the overt ones that are just wonderful. I still believe Courageous and all those. So the movies that make money are movies that the average American, it's better to sell, let me put it simply, it's better to sell four tickets to a family than one ticket to some guy who wants to watch something bad or some girl who wants to watch something bad. And we also teach people media wisdom. When I was head of the department at City University of New York, we developed the first media literacy course, and we teach people how to teach their kids. And you said something very intelligent. You said that the influence of the media, but what parents don't understand is that every stage of a child's life, they have different influence. When they're in the imagination stage, let's say 2 to 7 years old, they confuse fact and fiction. So I was lecturing at a conference near you in Washington, and this Washington State, by the way, and the head of the department at University of Wisconsin said they did a test of the seniors asking them if they'd ever been afraid of something when they were 2 to 7 years old. 90% came back with Jaws. That was a couple of years ago. And they were still afraid. They had nightmares about sharks. They thought if they took their swimming test at the University of Wisconsin that a shark would come. Now, that's a different set of problems that they face in the imagination stage than the next stage, which is called the concrete stage. I won't go into all that. So at each stage, you've got to be not only concerned about your children, you've got to understand how they learn, how they perceive the world around them, and how to deal with them. And, of course, all of this is biblical because you want to train up a child in the way they should go, and the Bible recognizes that children react differently at different times.
Yeah, and you know, there's another part of it too. It's funny that you know, before you could get almost any movie you wanted off of the internet, but you go back to the red boxes or you know the different video stores that were out there. A lot of them that were so big, Blockbuster, and some of these that were so big are non-existent today. But you'd see maybe several Blockbuster videos in a town, only one library. It's because the way we assimilate information now has changed from books to video and audio and all these things. And so I think that's really, really important. And again, on how it affects us. We got some callers here, and we're going to go to James.
Can I add something to that, Mike?
Oh, sure. And then we're going to go to James.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Jesus told parables, as you know. the written word, which I love. You know, I've got more advanced degrees that I know what to do with. I love the written word. I'm on the board of a university. But the written word started in the 1500s with the printing press, and the Protestants were the first to use the written word to bring revival. And then when movies came in, Edison wanted to donate the picture, the projector, and the camera to his local Presbyterian church, and they refused it. You know, and it's like my story of the church closing the Protestant film office. If we had stayed in Hollywood, we would have kept it cleaner. We should be using the media the way the church did, just what you're doing with your radio program. I'm extremely proud of what you're doing because you're doing the right thing. So we teach people how to make great movies and entertainment, and we see them being picked up by the biggest people in Hollywood. So yeah. That's my little addition.
Make such a big difference. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have James on the line, Corona, California. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Brother Mike, how you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Hey, Brother, you know, I got a question for you. You know, my wife was raised in Assembly of God Church. I wasn't raised as a Christian. I became a Christian at 18, and I've been serving Christ since. And I attended the Assembly of God Church that I met her, and we got married. I raised my children to serve and fear the Lord. My son had a hunger for God, so he went to a school in Riverside of another denomination, which is Christian, but it's Calvinist. And all of a sudden, you know, when our church closed, he started going to another church, and his thoughts have changed. You know, like he says, you know, if you're not Calvinist, you're not serving Christ. And I said, you know, I don't think it's that way. You know, is that a thing that's trending now with a lot of people? Because, I mean, you
well,
know,
it's an excuse. I believe Calvinism is probably one of the biggest. It's bogus. I mean, I used to try to soft pedal it, but there is no way. And for those that are listening saying, well, what is Calvinism? This is where God deliberately put people on this earth to send them to hell. Those that'll get saved will figure it out. Those that won't, those are the ones that God put on the earth to go to hell. And it's one of the most wicked, cruel doctrines that I have ever heard in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus, and I know that Jesus doesn't have a lot of influence in the church anymore. I don't know how this happened, but probably through the movies that the world has come out with. But one of the, I think the most important thing is the Great Commission that Jesus gave. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say go preach it to the predestinated ones. He said to every creature. And it which simply is speaking there to every person. And until we're really born again, we're kind of animalistic. We're kind of the way we are. We do whatever feels good, do it mentality. But when we become born again, God borns a spirit into us, changes so many different things about the way we view things. And then we realize in God, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say for God so loved the predestinated ones, that only the predestinated ones that would call on him or believe on him would be saved. It's whosoever would call, you know, and this is why I think it's so important. So for God so loved the world, whosoever would believe on him, that does not speak in any way, shape, or form of those predestined to go to hell. And I think this is one of the worst doctrines that are out there. And people say, well, why has it become more popular? Because it's the most perfect excuse to do nothing as a Christian and feel good about it. That's what it is. Well, hey, if they're gonna get saved, man, they're gonna figure it out. I don't need to evangelize. I don't need to do nothing. Forget what Jesus said about preaching the gospel to every creature. They're going to figure it out. And that's why you'll find many churches that are in the Calvinistic twist. They don't even have altar calls in their church because, you know, if you're, you know, you'll figure it out if you're going to figure it out. Well, that is not the Bible. That is not Christianity. It's an ism, like Mormonism, like all your other isms that are out there. And you cannot reconcile this to true evangelistic Christianity. But it is a beautiful excuse to say, well, I believe in Jesus and I'm saved to set. I won't get involved with anything because, you know, God's got it all under control. You know, the Bible talks about those that are predestinated. So we're just going to hang our hat on that loose pin and hope nothing falls off. Well, when you read about predestination in the Bible, that's from God's perspective. God ultimately knows who makes it and who doesn't. But just because God knows who makes it and who doesn't stop anyone today from making the decisions where they're going to spend eternity. And so it's a wicked, cruel, ungodly doctrine that's out there. And there is no excuses for it. I used to think, well, you know, and the more you really look at it, this turns God into some kind of a Middle Eastern a God that puts, I'm going to put you on earth to send you to hell. Now go suffer. What kind of a sick group of people believe this junk? But if you want to be lazy in your Christianity, don't evangelize. I can't think of a better doctrine. Because you see, that takes all the responsibility off of us. You see, I have no great commission because I believe those that are going to figure it out are going to figure it out. Whenever you see predestination in the Bible, that is from God's perspective, not ours. Our perspective is Jesus's perspective that says, go preach the gospel to every creature. Ted, got any thoughts on that?
Well, I think you've got a lot of good points with that. And of course, every faith, you know, a friend of mine, church I went to in Atlanta, says God moves, man turns it into a movement, and it dies. So as soon as man turns it into a movement, it goes downhill immediately. And much of that that happened to either Luther or Calvin or Wesley or whatever, I mean, Wesleyan Church, when I was doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe at the National Council of Churches, you know, the Methodists were probably the most socialist of the whole bunch. So you've got all of these things, when man takes it over, go downhill. At the beginning of Calvin, he was called the theologian of the Holy Spirit. If you read the Institute, he always talks about you can't read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. But that all ended. So we don't have to debate what happened to the people, even to Francis or whoever you want to pick. Whenever God speaks to somebody, somebody else tries to turn it into something rigid and unbearable. And of course, they did that with Moses too. So, you know, it's been a long history of man interfering with God's word.
Well, and it's the nature of man anyway. What was it that Ronald Reagan said? If it's invented, they'll tax it. If it moves, they'll regulate it. So, you know, it just goes that way. But the thing is, when you look at this, the Bible right now clearly teaches whosoever will may come. You know, we understand that the whole heart of God is to see lost people saved. But to go around and tell people, oh, well, you were put on this earth, you're lost forever. What kind of hope is that? What kind? I mean, I can't think of a doctrine that the devil loves anymore than for people to be told you cannot be saved because you weren't a predestinated one. What wacky stuff
The good news, Mike, to underline what you're saying, is that I grew up in the industry, and I grew up far to the left, and my mother died when I was young, so I did a lot of nefarious activity, and God saved me radically. My life turned around. Yeah. I got married to my wife a week later. I stopped all the illicit activity, all the drugs, everything else. So God is just a wonderful blessing when you turn toward Him. And when I come out on the stage to do what many people call the Christian Oscars, the Movie Guide Awards, which honors the biggest movies in Hollywood that are family-oriented, faith-invited, and I come out and say, I'm bringing these people good news. This is good news. And we see people coming to Christ. I have a friend who was Muslim, did 150 movies, grew up in Iran. He's come to Christ. He has done The Young Messiah and Infidel. So you see people being transformed, and they're transformed by the good news, not by the bad news.
Amen. So I hope that helps, James.
Thank you, brothers. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's a serious problem. I mean, there's some elements of the 5 points of Calvinism in part I agree with, but the problem is it isn't what you agree with in a bad doctrine. It's what you don't agree with. You know, there's some parts in Mormonism, as example, the focus, you know, the focus on family and relationships and things. I think that's great. But when it comes to Satan and Jesus being brothers, when it comes to you're going to be a God yourself someday, when it comes to where when they pray and you're with them and they're praying to Father in heaven, they're praying to Adam, the one who fell in the garden, who went through the process of becoming a God himself, and that's who they pray to. See, they use all the same words. And I find this in all these different isms that are out there. They use the same words, but with completely different definitions for them. And that's why it's real. You have to be real careful. Sometimes you'll go up, hey, brother, you know, hey, I'm a brother too. And you start talking to him, hey, Jesus, good, yeah. You know, and then you start talking to him and find out that I'm Jesus, you're Jesus, we're all Jesus. Yeah, and you go, what in the world are you talking about? Well, see, the thing is, they know about God, but they do not know God. There's a big difference. And so I believe that, again, the days that we live in are so important. James, stay on the line. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs may help you, your family a little bit, okay?
Philippians,
stay on the line. We'll get... Pardon?
By life or by death, Christ will be glorified in his body. I thank you.
Amen. That's what it's all about. James, stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Chris, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. This is Chris. I just got a quick question for you, maybe two questions. First off, I've been kind of looking for an answer from God. I've been praying. Me and my wife are going through or on the verge of a divorce, and I got in my car, and I just missed your last message on talking to someone about divorce, and right now, we're kind of, like I said, we're on the verge. We both went to church. We met in church. And then after that, we kind of backslid, which I'm being honest, but and then we tried to get back into church, and one can't get the other one to stay in. So maybe some words of advice.
Well, you know, I've always told people this. I know it's a little redundant, but it's true. If the train doesn't come into the station on time, find out where it went off the tracks. And I would invite you to go back and as the Bible says, as Jesus addresses the church in Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 2, go back and do the works that you did at first. You know, a lot of times, and this does not only apply to a church, but it applies to us personally, what we once did out of love, now we do out of obligation or duty. And that's not good because the heart is more important than the action. Right in our world today, we always say, well, the end justifies the means. Well, in fact, it doesn't. In fact, you can be doing all kinds of really good things, but if you're doing them for the wrong reason, then it's not going to have the result that you want to have. So I would go back and say, hey, look, let's go get an ice cream cone. Let's spend some time in prayer together. Let's go back to church together. If we can't agree on this church, then let's find one that we can agree on. But this, what you're highlighting here, Chris, is the problem in meeting another believer in church, getting married. You know, God blesses you. We don't go to church anymore. Pretty soon we're not doing anything anymore. Pretty soon we're doing stuff we shouldn't be doing. And now you've drifted away from God. And the thing is, this is the snare, if you will. You know, it's the frog in the you know, hot water. Frog jumps in hot water, jumps out, but you turn the water up slow, it'll boil itself to death. That's the problem. And this is the result of a deteriorated relationship with God. It just is. Now, not every time, but when you realize that, again, marriages globally are under attack. And if we don't go back to that simple relationship with God, who's the source of love, I believe all kinds of really bad things can happen. So that's what I'm saying. Go back, find out where the train went off the track. When did you guys kind of start feeling like you didn't love each other or like each other, or want to be around each other? What was that that caused that? Then go back maybe, 4 months before that and start doing those things again. Because see, what happens is, you know, one of the things the Bible says is to communicate, forget not. And we don't know how to communicate anymore. Not in our homes, not in our businesses, nothing. You'll see two people on a date on a Friday night in a restaurant sitting across from each other, but they're not talking to each other. They're on their iPod or whatever. They're on their iPhone, you know, punching the screen. And I'm going, they don't even talk to each other. And they wonder why they have issues. See, because again, it takes time to communicate. And my time's too precious to spend on you. I got to be here on my iPhone. There's where your problems come from. But see, it can be a lot of different things. And so I would just invite you, you know, to pray, ask the Lord to open your eyes for spiritual insight, and then go back and find out where and how did the flame get blown out, and then relight it again. You know, if she loved you once, I believe if it isn't too late, she'll love you again. But I think that, and the same for you. But what I'm saying is the course you're on is going to end in a disaster. So you've got to get away from where you're at now, rethink the life situation you're in, and then, as the Bible says, return and do what you did originally for the right reasons. Your thoughts, Ted.
Well, my thoughts about this is that the media is constantly pushing lust. Lust is always taking. Lust is always wants more. Instead of pushing love, love is giving, love is sharing. The more you give, the happier you are. The more you take, the less happy you are. So you have to say, I'm going to turn off all the input, as you say, from the iPhones and everything else, which is distracting me from giving to somebody else, from caring about somebody else. You know, my wife's been on chemotherapy for 25 years. People say, how can you put up with it? You put up with it because the more you give to somebody, the more you love them, they just become more and more lovable. It's a wonderful thing. And every day is a victory. Every day is a blessing.
So, Chris, can we pray for you real quick?
Yes, sir.
Of course.
Father, may you give Chris wisdom and understanding in this relationship. Everybody listening that's got the same problem, God, it's the same thing. We've got to go back to you, the author, finisher of our faith, and the author and finisher of love. And so I would just invite you, Chris, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And every time you find the word love there, put your name there instead and see how you do on the love test. Chris, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Maybe you guys can sit down and get some ice cream. Watch God of Wonders. I think it'll touch your heart. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of, okay? God bless you, dear. And we'll look forward to seeing what you and the Lord does with your wife. Let's go to Nathaniel, Massachusetts. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, we're almost out of time. What's your question?
No problem. My question's short. My question is, how do we know if God's talking to us? Like, how do I hear God, especially through prayers? Or if I feel something in my heart, I feel like a tugging, how do I know it's not from something else rather than from God?
Well, first of all, I believe Jesus said like this, my sheep know my voice. So you want to acquaint yourself with God's voice. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at how Jesus talked to critics. Look how he talked to people who were in need. Notice the words like, and seeing the multitudes, he had compassion on them. That gives us an idea of the heart of God. The second thing is, if you're somewhere and you see somebody sitting over on a park bench with their face in their hands, and you feel an unction from inside saying, go over and pray for that person. Well, first of all, I can tell you that's not you. That's not me. Because that's not in Mike to do that. But that is in the heart of God to do that, to prompt us to do that. Well, how do I know it's the devil not telling me to do that? The devil won't tell you to go over and pray for somebody. So I believe that, again, a lot of times we can step through this logically. But again, acquaint yourself with God's voice, his word, and especially the Gospels, because that's where you have all these words of Jesus, you'll begin to develop and you'll begin to recognize his word. And about 45 seconds, Ted, you got any words of wisdom for him?
Well, the wisdom is that you're absolutely on target. I mean, the church for centuries has said the first place you look is the Word of God. And many people start looking at their own friends, their own loved ones, they look at the media, and they get distracted. The more you get yourself immersed in the Word of God, the more you let Him speak to you, the more you recognize His voice. So you're absolutely right. In fact, that's part of my sermon on Sunday. So what are you doing quoting my sermon, Mike? How did you do that?
Well, it's funny. It's like what you said. You said you read the Bible, and that caused you to accept the Lord. See, because that was the voice of God calling. And so I just tell you, Nathaniel, acquaint yourself. You know, you acquaint yourself with a lot of real $20 bills. You're going to spot a phony in a hurry. And so remember that. Again, Ted Bear with us from the movie industry, critic. And so thank you for being on. Look forward to being back.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.